Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, September 15th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The official opening of the third session of the country's eighth parliament was a comedy of errors today, beginning with President Mugabe delivering an old speech against the backdrop of alleged death threats to opposition MDCT lawmakers, warning them not to heckle Mr. Mugabe during his address.
One expected that since we are getting into the next session, there would be much more that we need to be dealing with, particularly the issue around the alignment of some of the laws to the Constitution. That should take much of our time in the session.
The African Development Bank writes off Zimbabwe's $601 million arrears to help Harare reduce its debt with multilateral institutions.
We must make every effort to ensure that we are able to utilize those resources, those funds, by end of December next year. So we are in a hurry as the country.
And former Highlanders coach Bongani Mafu has finally broken his silence over his termination, telling Studio 7 he remains a loyal supporter of the Bulawayo team and wishes them well.
I support Islanders. I love Islanders. I always support Islanders. I can be removed from coaching Islanders. I cannot be removed from being a Highlander person. The only thing I can say is that if we are all to support Islanders, let us do it positively.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The official opening of the third session of the country's eighth parliament was a comedy of errors today, beginning with President Robert Mugabe delivering an old speech, which was not broadcast live as usual, to the surprise of television viewers and radio listeners, all in the backdrop of alleged death threats against the opposition MDC lawmakers who had planned to heckle the president, as happened during his State of the Nation address last month. Reporter Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare.
Today's opening of Parliament started well, with state media reporting that all was set for President Robert Mugabe's speech to Parliament. The usual praise singers comprising ZANU-PF supporters, members of the repository, and others sang and ululated outside Parliament when President Mugabe arrived with his wife, Grace, in a vintage black Rolls Royce. He inspected the guard of honor as Air Force of Zimbabwe jets flew past. A 21-gun salute was also fired as part of the proceedings ahead of the speech. The Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation had set up its outside broadcasting equipment and deployed staff a day ahead to prepare for the much-publicized event. However, events took a dramatic turn when a spat ensued between the chief whip of the opposition NDC, led by Morgan Tsvangirai, and Speaker of the House over allegations raised by NDC chief whip Innocent Gonese that they had received death threats against any member planning to embarrass the president by hacking him, as happened at last month's State of the Nation address. It was then that the ZBC staffers were ordered not to broadcast the event live. More drama followed when the usually poised and meticulous President Mugabe took to the podium and began delivering an old speech. For instance, Mr. Mugabe referred to the state of the economy in the speech.
The economic growth rate, which was initially projected at 3.2%, is now expected to register 1.5% growth in 2015.
In explanation, presidential spokesman George Aramba acknowledged there was a mix-up in his office leading to a delay in the correct speech that President Mugabe delivered later than expected. Viewers and onlookers seeking an explanation for the abrupt cessation of the broadcast received none by ZBC staffers, who cannot be named as they are not allowed to speak to the press, that they had received a directive not to go live. However, this was reportedly before it was known that the president's speech was the wrong one. Meanwhile, in a sharp contrast to the last parliamentary sitting where they heckled and booed Mr. Mugabe, the MDC members sat quietly while ruling ZANU-PF lawmakers clapped at regular intervals. It's not clear whether the lawmakers at the time realized Mr. Mugabe was reading the wrong speech. Regarding death threats to opposition lawmakers, Gwanese said lawmakers had received messages from a private number warning them against taking the president or risk death if they did so.
It undermines the integrity of parliament. Members of parliament are there to represent the people. If something is said which does not resonate with what people feel on the ground, members of parliament will obviously react. And I believe that that is within their democracy. And I don't think that I should resort to extra legal methods. If anything that happens in parliament is to be dealt with, it must be dealt with in accordance with parliamentary processes.
Prosper Mutsiami, another lawmaker, said he also received the death threats through his mobile phone and his wife too.
If you want your life, you just need not to interfere with parliamentary proceedings today. Anything else to the contrary will take you head on. That was the message.
Another opposition lawmaker, Nelson Chamisa, said he would have confronted Mr. Mugabe if he had seen the messages before his speech.
If I had seen this message before, I would have raised it with the president right in front of him to say you can't talk about peace when you are threatening MPs. What more of even citizens and ordinary Zimbabweans?
Charamba did not comment on the death threats received by opposition lawmakers ahead of today's address. However, Gwanese said Speaker Jacob Mdenda advised all affected lawmakers to report the matter to the police. Meanwhile, opposition lawmaker Priscilla Misaerambi of the MDC formation led by Professor Washington Mule said Mr. Mugabe's speech led the legislative agenda which they expected. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Meanwhile, the opposition MDCT says Mr. Mugabe should resign immediately, saying reading a wrong speech is, quote, a clear and unmitigated sign that he's too old and therefore no longer fit for purpose, close quote. The MDCT says this clearly shows that the president no longer has the requisite mental faculties needed to continue in office as the head of state.
Former Information Minister and senior ZANU-PF member Kanyiso Ndlovu died in Bulawayo this morning after suffering a severe stroke last week. Correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
Ndlovu died at Martyrs Bay Hospital, where he was admitted last week after suffering a stroke. Thousands of people, including some senior ZANU-PF members, government officials, and ordinary people, were treating to Ndlovu's home in Sunninghill when Studio 7 visited in the morning. ZANU-PF Politburo member Absalom Skosana, who described Ndlovu's death as a loss to both the party and the nation, said immediately after hearing about it, the party's provincial executive had met to recommend to the Politburo that Ndlovu be declared a national hero. He said the province is expecting a response soon.
We are really devastated as the people of Bulawayo, especially ZANU-PF as a party in this province, and we know this is a national tragedy because Dr. Ndlovu, during his life, touched the lives of many people. Already, we are receiving calls from other provinces who are inquiring whether what they are getting is true.
Another Politburo member, Joshua Malinga, said Ndlovu made significant contributions for the betterment of indigenous Zimbabweans before and after independence, adding that recommending he be declared a national hero is near formality. Some Malawi residents who spoke to Studio 7 said they remembered Ndlovu's life outside politics as a lover of sports, especially soccer. Walter Taranike said he used to see Ndlovu at soccer matches at Babafield Stadium. He recalled how the former House member from Pokoma used to sponsor sporting tournaments for youths in his constituency. Ndlovu, who was 78 at the time of his death, was a ZANU-PF Politburo member and also a former cabinet minister. He was one of the country's leading educationists and founded one of the first private colleges, the Zimbabwe Distance Education College, or ZIDECO, offering distance education in academic and professional courses in independent Zimbabwe. because he's survived by his wife and an unknown number of children and grandchildren. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shala.
Thanks, Taurai. ZANU-PF Politburo member Obed Mpofu, also the country's Economic and National Development Minister, tells Studio 7 Ndlovu's death is devastating.
We have received with sadness the news about the passing on of our colleague, Dr. Kaliso Ndlovu. As you are aware, he has been in the nationalistic politics for a long time, starting from ZAPU, ZANU-PF, we are united, serving as a minister and a member of the political group. I visited him 2 days ago in hospital, where I found him really, you know, in pain, and it was quite a shock for us to receive the news of his passing on.
So would you know any burial arrangements? Is he going to be made a national hero?
No, we have just received the news today about his passing on. And I'm actually on my way to Bulawayo to join the other mourners at the homestead before perhaps getting news from the family on what arrangements are going to be made. But since he is a national character, I think there will be other arrangements.
That was National Development Minister Obed Mpofu on the line from Harare.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says the African Development Bank, or AFDB, has agreed to write off Zimbabwe's 601 million arrears to the bank, helping the country to reduce its loans with multilateral institutions. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa told a news conference that the AFDB has agreed to help Zimbabwe offset its debt arrears to the bank.
The African Development Bank has set aside some funds to assist Zimbabwe in clearing the arrears. The amount is yet to be determined by their board, and they've assured us that those funds which have been set aside to assist Zimbabwe in clearing its arrears will be available for us up to end of December next year, 2016.
Sibri Tapsoda, an AFDB executive leading the bank's mission to discuss Harare's proposals to clear its arrears to the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the AFDB, said the bank has mobilized the resources to help Zimbabwe clear its arrears with the AFDB.
The total amount of arrears of Zimbabwe to the African Development Bank is $601 million. That is the total amount. The resources that we are putting aside will clear the African Development Bank arrears. It will not clear the arrears of IMF and the World Bank.
Chinamasa said the funds that have been set aside by the AFDB have to be utilized by December this year.
We must make every effort to ensure that we are able to utilize those resources, those funds, by end of December next year. So we are in a hurry as the country. And in fact, our hope is that if the strategy is accepted, we hope that we should clear the arrears to African Development Bank by December this year. There are also other strategies that we are going to employ to make that happen by December this year.
The Harare administration owes international money lending institutions and countries in the Paris Club close to $10 billion and has been failing to pay its debt arrears to its creditors for over a decade now. An IMF delegation that was in the country last week to review its staff monitored program urged Harare to strengthen its economic reforms to enable it to attract investors, create jobs, and clear its huge debt, among other things. Chinamasa said Zimbabwe hopes that its proposal to clear its debt will be accepted by the foreign creditors at a meeting that will be held on the sidelines of the World Bank annual general meeting in the Peru capital, Lima, next month. Zimbabwe has been failing to access fresh lines of credit from multilateral institutions because it has not been servicing its debts with its international lending institutions since 1999. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Coming up,
The Progressive Teachers Union says government is targeting its members in civil servants audit.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Russian President Vladimir Putin defended his country's military support for Syria, saying today that Russia will continue to aid President Bashar al-Assad's forces in their fight against terrorist aggression.
Two political novices, billionaire real estate mogul Donald Trump and former neurosurgeon Ben Carson, topped the latest survey as the choice of U.S. Republicans for the party's 2016 presidential nomination.
And Malcolm Turnbull was sworn in today as Australia's new prime minister, becoming the country's fourth leader in just over 2 years.
The government should protect all citizens and uphold a high court order on updating the nation on the whereabouts of missing activist Itai Dzamara. The call came today from the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and individuals who attended the launch of the Itai Dzamara Trust in Harare. Dzamara has been missing for 6 months now, ever since he was abducted from his Glenview home in March. Jonga Kandemiri spoke with the chairman of the Itai Dzamara Trust, Bishop Anselimo Magaya, about the trust fund.
I did highlight the purpose of this trust, which is to advocate for people's freedoms of expression and association. We also indicated that the trust would be there to support the families of those abducted through the provision of resources and psychosocial and spiritual support. But also we noted that as a trust, we would be collaborating with other progressive, like-minded groupings in mobilizing masses for action where human rights will have been violated. So these are some of the things that I did mention, but we also had a very powerful, moving testimony from one comrade Zulu, who incidentally fought in the liberation struggle. But because he felt he had to exercise his democratic rights, at some point, joined another political party, and he was abducted in 2008 and was tortured. We also had solidarity speeches from Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and Occupy Africa Unit Square members and other civil society organizations.
How will people know about it?
The people will know about this trust because key stakeholders were there, and we believe that what you are doing right now, talking to me, will actually spread the message around. The various media houses that were there will actually spread the message around.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya, chairman of the Itai Dzamara Trust in Harare, with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Youth activists are welcoming government efforts to tackle youth sex parties known as vuzums or vuzus in the country. The parties have become popular in urban areas, with teenagers and young adults getting involved in binge drinking and unprotected sex. Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo told the state-controlled Chronicle newspaper that his ministry is working on tightening loopholes in the existing legislation dealing with antisocial behaviour. The minister said the burden to ensure children do not engage in risky behavior not only lies with the police but also with parents. Active Youth Zimbabwe member Fortune Chidike agrees with Chombo, adding more needs to be done to tackle this issue.
Parents are supposed to play an active role in monitoring what their kids will be doing, where they will be, whom they will be with, and why they are going to certain places or to certain parties. I think they need to strictly monitor their children. And these parties usually take place at night or sometimes during weekends. So I think parents can also restrict their children from just going out to parties where We don't know what's happening at the parties.
There have been some questions about those children whose parents might be out of the country or in the diaspora. How do family members deal with that type of issue from your perspective?
I think when parents are out of the country, the elderly, the relatives, even neighbors will be there watching over the kids. So I think those can assist, they can monitor what the children are doing, and also appealing to police to continue assisting in looking at these issues at the parties.
That was Fortune Chidike of the Active Youth Zimbabwe speaking to Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo.
The family of Chiedza Brown, daughter of the late artists Chiwoniso Maraire and Andy Brown, say they are gutted by her death and are still searching for answers about why she chose to end her life as a teenager. Speaking for the family, Sandra Tatenda Mashiringo, the sister of the late Andy Brown, confirmed reports that Chiedza had committed suicide by hanging herself. Mashiringo, also a musician who goes by the name Queen Mashi, said the family has decided to cremate Chiedza and send her remains to Zimbabwe for burial. Mashiringo tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that Chiedza's death is a huge loss to the family.
We are feeling gutted. It said it's painful to the family to meet the Brown and the Marais. It's something really, really painful.
What do you want the public to know about the circumstances surrounding Chiedza's death?
You know, I wouldn't want to explain so much to the public because, you know, this is a family matter. But anyway, what I can tell you is she committed suicide and no one knows why, you know. So only Chiedza knows why she did that. What we are trying to do right now is to send her off peacefully as we can. That's what we are trying to do.
How certain are you that she committed suicide before results from investigations that are being carried out at the moment?
Because she was found hanging in the wardrobe. That's what we were told with people who were living with her. So that's what we're going to believe. So if the post-mortem, you know, comes otherwise, then we're going to start to look on that. But so far, what we know is Chiedza committed suicide. There's no any other plus story or minus story about that.
Tell us about the burial arrangements so far.
The burial arrangements are underway. The autopsy was done. You know, the papers will be out soon. Then after that, we know it's going to be cremated in the States with the families around, all the family and anyone who can manage to go to the States. Then we organize for them to fly the ashes to Zimbabwe. Then we can also do a service in Zimbabwe and take the ashes to her mom's grave and to her dad's grave.
We earlier heard that there was no agreement over the burial arrangements, the cremation, and all the other issues. How did you settle this issue?
Okay, on the agreement, you know, the family, the Brown family and the Marere family, we've all agreed that's how it's going to be. And we are trying to respect Shengeto's decision. Shengeto is the one who is feeling so much pain right now because she lost her dad, she lost her mom, she lost her sister, you know, and she will give her the privilege of at least make this decision.
What can you tell the people about Chiedza's life?
Chiedza was a peaceful soul, that's all I can say. Everyone loved her. Everyone loved her.
That was the late Andy Brown's sister, Sandra Tatenda Mashiringo, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on behalf of the Maraire and the Brown families. She was speaking on the line from Geneva, Switzerland. The Militant Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, or PTUZ, is accusing President Robert Mugabe's government of targeting its members and opposition political activists in its ongoing civil servants audit seeking to remove the so-called ghost workers from state payroll. Gandri Maramba has details from Maswingo.
PTUZ President Takao Firajo told Studio 7 today that his organization has evidence that the government has instructed headmasters in Masvingo to list the names of every teacher in the province who has a history of working with the opposition political party or militant teachers union. Sho says this is blatant victimization of trade union members by the government.
And our point is very clear that our members as trade unionists are legitimately doing their work and defending fellow members. And we don't see why they should be systematically targeted. The same applies to those who are deemed to be politically active. We don't think that it is important to exclude other people on the basis that they are activists, because we are all political animals.
Shaw said this organization is worried that the government audit is not meant to root out the so-called ghost workers, adding the government has failed in the past to flush out those people following similar exercises.
We are aware that we have numerous of other people who are not legitimate teachers. These are the people we want to be removed from the payroll so that the ministry can pay genuine teachers. And we wonder why several audit teams are being sent. There was an audit team in April, and they have been continuously auditing, and yet these people are not qualified enough because genuine teachers have not been paid for the past 2 months.
Provincial Education Director Zedia Shitiga declined to comment when contacted for comment, but a headmaster with a local school who preferred not to be named confirmed the PTUZ allegations.
I'm afraid, boss, this is too sensitive, and it is a political issue where you'd find out that as an instruction, some of the people are very competent, and because they are trade unionists and activists, they are victims of circumstances.
The government is currently carrying out a headcount of teachers in the country as part of an audit to cut on its huge wage bill as instructed by the International Monetary Fund, which has been working with Harare on its staff monitored program. Harare admits that more than 70% of its revenues are going towards the huge wage bill, with Finance Minister Patrick Chinamaza says it's not sustainable. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masingo, I am Gandhi Maramba.
And in sports news, former Highlanders coach Bongani Mafu has finally broken his silence over his termination, telling Studio 7 he remains a loyal supporter of the Bulawayo team and wishes them well. And we now go to the report.
I'm at home. I spend my time working in my garden, reading my football book and watching my videos, training videos, reading football psychology, and getting ready for my next assignment, you know, and I don't know what it's going to be. I've not been approached by anyone yet, but I believe that I've been in a very, very big brand, and I've had a platform that should open avenues for me. I'm still positive I'll get a team that I'm going to coach and show that I can actually coach a football team.
What's your general assessment of the quality of football in Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe, there are people that run football and there are people that talk football. The people that run football are working very much to make football work in an economy that's not possible, and the people that talk football are doing nothing besides the talk. So until the people that are in any office of any organization in Zimbabwe are supported by the people that talk, there's nothing that's going to happen because there's no money. It's tough.
Any word for the Highlanders establishment?
I support Highlanders. I love Highlanders. I always support Highlanders. I can be removed from coaching Highlanders. I cannot be removed from being a Highlander person. The only thing I can say is that if we are all to support Highlanders, let us do it positively. Find something that you can do for the team that is tangible. Don't tell me ideas. Don't tell me who you want to be in or who you want to be. You go there and find someone that you sponsor.
Former Highlanders coach Bongani Mafu on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Bulawayo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions on the issue, on several issues. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap on today's top stories. The official opening of the third session of the country's eighth parliament was a comedy of errors today, beginning with President Robert Mugabe delivering an old speech.
The African Development Bank writes off Zimbabwe's $601 million arrears.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.